as the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away. Give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Give and take away. Give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Hallelujah. I don't want to miss an opportunity to do this. We get together once a week, twice a week. This is something very special. I don't ever take it for granted. To be with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, to do something like this, it is, you can't put a price on it. You can't buy this with money. This is awesome. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. We have a few announcements. We're going to have regularly scheduled services this Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening. What is going on Sunday evening? We're having a department head meeting this Sunday evening or next Sunday? Say that again. Family time this Sunday evening. Be with your family. October 31st is on a Thursday harvest party. We need people to sign up and volunteer. A week from Thursday is our harvest party. Jeremiah, when are you moving, bud? Next Friday. Make sure that you give Jeremiah a big hug around his neck. We got this Wednesday and next Wednesday, and then he's going to be moving to Ottawa. So let him know that we're going to miss him, and we love you. This whole church loves you. There's a good church in Ottawa. I believe we're in the same section, so we'll see in youth rallies and that. So let's pray for, yes. Okay, remember that. And if you have any questions regarding that, you can ask Sister Grimm. All right. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to give an offering of praise to you, Lord, here this evening, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd bless this offering, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd bless every faithful and cheerful giver, the ones given by faith here tonight also, in Jesus' name. Be sure to fellowship, shake somebody's hand in Jesus' name.
Forever. Him. God, you're good. God, you're good. The Lord is good. God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. Amen. Amen. In that spirit, we want to pause and take a moment of prayer for our lost loved ones. We've gotten into the habit, and I believe that if you didn't get a chance to see them or meet them, Jill and Tiffany were here this past Sunday, and that is Ariana and Sahara and her, that whole clan's mother and grandmother. They sat right here, and they worshiped, they cried. They told my wife, both of them separately through tears, as they hugged and said goodbye, that we didn't know what we were looking for, or what we were doing. We were just coming, and we loved what we felt. And both have said that they're going to be back. So I believe that God's doing a work because of our prayers. Amen. Amen. So we want to continue in that. We're going to continue praying because we are a praying church. And the only way some of these people are going to be reached is not by my words, not by your words, not by our actions, but only by the grace of God stepping into that their lives, into this situation. So won't you take up whatever name you have in your mind. If you don't have one and that's connected to your family, just pray for the jar. Pray for somebody next to you. Sister Rose. Yeah. Yeah, they last Wednesday night, I believe, they came up, or maybe even Sunday. As soon as they came, and I meant to, and I will pray in a second, but as I think I was up there, or whenever they came, it was borderline for me, not for anybody else. It was distracting me. I was trying to get into it, and then I had a moment where I told myself, and I should have said it, and I meant to say it, and I kicked myself, that that's what it's about. It's not I don't care that it was, I had a tough time getting into my notes. That doesn't matter. These girls saw the need and they had faith, childlike faith, to believe that I'll put a name in a jar and I'll pray and God answers a prayer. So, Sister Rose? Awesome. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So why don't we boldly lift up some names before God? Come on, we have family members that need to know the Lord. So we boldly lift up these names before you. God, we pray that you would touch each and every need. God, each and every name. God, we put it before you. God, you're doing a work in Tiffany's life, in Jill's life. God, you're doing a work in our children's lives. You're doing a work in our parents and our brothers and our sisters, our aunts and our uncles. We believe that you are a prayer answering God. God, that you are going to reach, God, into situations that seemed hopeless. They were hopeless until you stepped in, because that's who you are and that's what you do. And we give you all the glory and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We want to have a time of prayer also. If there are any needs represented, I want to open up the floor. We want to make sure we pray. We're in a praying mood and God's in a listening mood. So any needs? Amen. 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 Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. Any other needs or testimony, Sister Rose? And I saw about seven people tried to grab him and tackle him. It was funny. I don't know if you saw it. Brother Al grabbed her. Brother Davis tried to. Brother Jay tried to. And then Brother Gary tried to on the way out. So for at least four, maybe more, all. Yeah, awesome. Hey. Hey, God's able. God's able. Amen. Amen. Any other needs or any needs? Sister Grimm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Sister D, then Sister Callum. Yeah. 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 Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Sister Callum. Amen. Yeah. Amen. God knows. Amen. 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 Brother Mike. Yeah. Yeah. Sister Carrie? Yeah. Sister Christy. Amen. Amen. Also, my grandmother was taken to the hospital yesterday, and she hasn't been well for a while, and they're running tests, and they might have to put her on short-term dialysis that could potentially turn into long-term dialysis that the doctors told my uncles that if that's the case, it just doesn't look good. So kidney failure seems to be the culprit of where her most recent issues have been. So please keep my grandmother in your prayers. Well, let's go into a time of prayer. Amen. Well, if we could have some of our ladies gather around Sister Darlene and some of our guys gather around Brother Mike and pray for his foot. We believe God knows exactly what he's doing. And so we want to uplift our brothers and sisters in prayer. So lift them up and take these needs before God right now in Jesus' name. God, there are some needs that are represented, but we serve a God that is able, a big God, a strong God, a mighty God, a God who works, a God who touches, a God who heals. God, we believe you started a work in Sister Darlene's body last week, but God, there's an appointment on Monday, God, and we believe right now that there's going to be a good report. We believe that you are doing a work in her body. God, we believe you're restoring her blood pressure. God, we believe you're touching Brother Mike's foot. God, you're working right now. We don't know the situation. We don't know the issue, but we know the healer. We know the miracle worker. We know the God sitting upon the throne who looks down and he works in his children's lives. God, I pray for each and every need that was represented here. God, you heard every request. You heard every testimony. You know every situation we're going through, and we turn our attention to you. God, we call upon you, Jesus, to set foot into these situations. And we'll give you the glory. We give you the honor. We praise you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We serve a prayer answering God. I know that's redundant. I know that's overstated. I know that we all just can roll our eyes at that statement and say, yeah, yeah, prayer answering, sure. But we serve a prayer answering God. That's who he is. He's not a, he doesn't sometimes answer. I can't quite figure this one out, so I can't answer this one, but keep praying and I'll find one I can't answer. No, God's able to do exceedingly and abundantly. He can do whatever we need him to do. He is able. He is able. Our youth can be dismissed at this time. Good seeing Tyler again. I'm getting him on the way out. Again, welcome, Tyler. He's ignoring me. He can't hear me. He's walking. He's just walking. I'm not here. Only have one scripture to read tonight. And I just realized as I was finishing playing bass to that last song that my wife is even smarter and wiser than what I have previously given her credit for. And I didn't realize you did what you did with the song you chose. Was that intentional? Oh, well, praise God. But just one scripture tonight, and it's Psalms 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. And I want to speak to us tonight, continuing our series, God is good. God is good. Why don't we one more time, let's just ask God to visit this place. I believe he's already here. God, we thank you, Lord, for the presence of God that we feel on a Wednesday night Bible study, on just a middle of the week, just what could have been an average night, but yet, God, you've seen fit to visit us. God, you're here working and moving, and we trust what you're doing. God, I pray that your spirit would be felt in this place. In Jesus' name, the church said amen. You may be seated. So we just sang, the Lord is good. We're talking about God is good. So great job being in the spirit or something, babe. Whatever you are doing, keep it up. But we were talking tonight that God is good. Very simple. Especially after going over God is faithful, God is holy, God is good could almost seem kind of simple or kind of mundane in comparison to righteous or merciful or almighty. But in looking at this, God is good. Sometimes you don't have all the words to say. Sometimes you can't quite put your finger on it. But at the end of the day, we serve a good God. So we want to look at what is the goodness of God. And too often it's easy to mistakenly equate the goodness of God as to the rightness of God. Not the righteousness, but the rightness of God. We find ourselves in a situation where something good happens and we respond that, thank you, God, you know exactly what you're doing. It worked out the way I planned it. It worked out the way I thought. Thank you, God, you got it under control. But then we all know when the opposite happens, when the situation doesn't work out the way we planned it or the way we thought it should, we say, God, why are you punishing me? Yeah, God, you clearly don't know what you're doing. You clearly are wrong. But our circumstances never reflect the goodness of God. Our situations don't reflect the goodness of God. Whether life is good or bad, from our perspective, God's goodness that is rooted in his character cannot change. It doesn't matter what our perspective looks like. John Blanchard, he put it this way. He said, nothing good comes except from God, and nothing except good comes from God. Nothing good comes except from God, and nothing except good comes from God. And God, he never urges himself to be good. He never wakes up in the morning and says, oh, I better be good today. It's just not what he does. It's who he is. John Piper, he put it this way. He says that it is his nature always. It inclines irresistibly toward righteousness. God is never torn by evil motives. God is light, and in him is no darkness. So he does not need to be reminded about the duty of his deity. No one needs to say, "Now today, God, mind your matters and do what's right." He is God, and he is good, and that cannot be divided. God's goodness is just simply who he is. He is good. He's the foundation of goodness. Goodness doesn't come from any other source in the world. Before time existed, before we existed, God's goodness existed. So therefore, any good thing that has come, any good thing that's happened in our timeline of life could only have come from God. Goodness just doesn't replicate itself. It just doesn't pop up. You don't plant a seed and goodness shows up. Goodness was here before we were, and God's goodness was here. And the psalmist in Psalms 119:68, he made it very simple. He said, "Thou art good and doest good." Profound. Maybe I could have written a psalm. But he just simply said, "You are good and you do good." There's nothing else that we need to know. Nothing else, if you needed to describe God to anybody else, you could just simply say, God is good. Even in the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. The goodness of God is evident in every piece of creation, because God set back on the sixth day after he created everything, and he determined it was very good. He looked out over the animals, the water, the land, and he called it very good. It was already established. Nothing else from that moment on, when he created earth, when he created everything that existed, every bacteria that existed, nothing new has just popped out without God's creation. No surprise. Nothing. I don't know how to say it any other way. Nothing has been created beyond that time. And at that point, it was very good. All the goodness comes from God. James 1:17, a scripture we know well. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you look at that verse in the Greek, the word good that it used, every good gift, translates to agate. It means intrinsically good, perfect. It translates to telekom, meaning complete, mature, and lacking nothing. And then cometh down is translated to kata bainon, which refers to something continually coming down. So it means what it's actually saying is that literally every good gift, everything that is lacking in nothing, every complete thing continually comes down from God. It just doesn't come down once. God doesn't give a good gift once. He doesn't give a perfect gift once. Perfect, literally complete. It means lacking nothing. God's complete gifts to us, lacking nothing, don't just happen one time, but they continually, over and over and over and over and over and over. And as long as God is in existence and as long as we are here, continually comes down. God doesn't just stop. He just doesn't give you a good gift. He gives you continual good gifts. We have a consistent access to those good things that our good God has for us. So there's a few questions we should ask when it comes to God's goodness. First one is, what must I do to experience God's goodness? I'm so glad you asked. Psalms 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Psalms 34:8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." You may ask another question, who can expect to benefit from God's goodness? Well, I'm glad you asked that one as well. Psalms 31:19, "How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." If you fear thee, you have the storage of God's goodness. And then it goes on to say, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalms 145:9, "The Lord is good to all." His tender mercies are over all his works. He's just good. Even when you're not worthy, he's good. Even when most of everyone, I'm painting us all with the same brush, sorry, none of us are worthy of God's goodness. Nothing we could have done, we're just not worthy, but the scripture says the Lord is good to all. How, another question you may ask, and again, I'm glad you asked it. How long can we expect to receive his goodness? Psalms 23 and 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely that goodness will follow me. Ray Stedman, he's a commentator on the Bible, a theologian, and he likened goodness and mercy in this verse, and he likened them to sheepdogs. And I never really heard goodness and mercy described as sheepdogs, but he went on to say, in referring to the goodness and mercy of God, he was referring to the sheepdogs that nip at the heels of the flock and keep them in line, driving them into place. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, nipping at my heels, turning me back from that which looks good but is really evil, keeping me from getting what I think I need and what I think I want. But in the end, we must name these what God names them, goodness and mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Not only is it just goodness and mercy for goodness and mercy's sake, just because he wants to give us goodness and mercy, but he loves us so much that his goodness has to draw us closer to him. His goodness is so good, it does not allow us to live out any way we would desire to live, but his goodness and mercy is continually bringing us closer to him. Someone also just asked, I heard it in the back, when will the Lord's goodness cease? I'm so glad you asked that, Sister Pat. I'm so glad. Psalms 105 says, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth into all generations. And then Psalms 52:1 says, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. It just continues. God's goodness, it was before us, and it continues beyond us. It's who he is. Without God's goodness, what reason would we have to even continue on the journey? Why would we continue living for the Lord if he wasn't good? What's the point if we served a mean or a temperamental God? Why would we serve him? Why would we give our best to him, if he was temperamental, if he acts like some of us whenever we don't get enough sleep, or if my wife can attest, if it's after 11 p.m. and she wants to have a serious conversation, I can't give my best in that time. You're not getting it from me. But at 6:30 a.m. tomorrow, let's talk. And I know that my wife may not be able to give me her best then. She could. But God doesn't look at a clock and say, really? We're starting this now? Maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that, but Lord, help me. But God is good continually, 24/7, 365. It's just who he is, and I'm thankful we serve a good God. Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14, it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I would have died, I would have given up, unless I had faith to believe that there was goodness of God. And then it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We would have given up if I didn't believe. I would have given up if I didn't believe that the goodness of God would show up. Regardless of the situation, a lot of us maybe even are facing situations that if it wasn't for the goodness of God that we believe is coming around the corner, we would give up. We should give up. The world would tell you, give up on that. Some of you have children that you've been praying for a long time, and the world would tell you they are who they are. They're past their teenage years. They're not formidable. You know, they're set in their ways. Give up. But the scripture says, faint not. Believe in the goodness of God and believe that there is a good Father, that there is a good God that loves you, that is working on your behalf, and his goodness is not going to run out. He's not limited by that? Where would we be without the goodness of God? Oh, where would we be? Psalms 25, verse 7 says, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way." Because he's good and upright, because he's full of goodness, thank God he forgets our transgressions. In his goodness, the scripture says he teaches us who are sinners the way to him. In his goodness, he shows us the way to him. Scripture doesn't say in his mercy. It doesn't say in his grace, he teaches us the way to him. It's his goodness. He's so good, that's why we understand that we are sinners and we can find him. We can find his grace. We can find his mercy. If God wasn't good, why would he spend any time with us? I mean, you guys are all pretty cool, and I like everybody in here, but, I mean, to be your savior, to die on the cross, that's a tough ask. You know, that's because we bring so much baggage to him continually. We bring so much own baggage, not life's baggage, not sickness, not circumstances. Sometimes we go and we pack our own bags of our own nonsense and our own flesh, and we struggle to carry this around. And I'm not talking about burdens of life. We all have those, but we also all have a suitcase that is too big to be carry-on, but we're trying to squeeze it on carry-on anyways, and, you know, we're trying to shove it in, and it's heavy, you know, it's over the 50-pound weight limit, but we're trying to lift it with our toe whenever the person's scanning it. No one else has done that. Thank you. But we have so much baggage. We fear continually, even though he tells us, "I've not given you a spirit of fear." We still fear. We doubt his plan, even though we know he's the author and the finisher of our faith. We fall into temptation continually, even though he went to the cross so we could overcome that temptation. And we question him continually, even though we know he knows better than what we do. Why, if God was not good, would he put up with us? Why would he do it? Why would he still love us? If he was a temperamental God, if he was a mood swing God, if he was not perfect and not good, he would have given up on us a long time ago, and rightfully so. But because he is good, he continues to love us, and he'll fight for us. It not only prevents him from giving up on us, but his goodness persuades him to step in and to fight on our behalf. The scripture in Nahum, chapter 1, verse 3. It's a four scripture passage, and it's a little lengthy, but I want to read it all. It says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." Just get the image. I mean, the Bible, and at times we can lose the beauty of what they're trying to say in the King James. It can get muddy, but listen to what the writer is saying. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. The clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up the rivers. I mean, just get the image of our God. The clouds are dust to his feet. The cloud, if you drove today, we drove into town today, and it was clouds, and it was those thick clouds, just billowing clouds as far as the eye could see. One of those where you put sunglasses on, you couldn't see anything, you take your sunglasses off, you can't see anything, so you just squint the whole time. The visor doesn't help at all because there's no sun shining. It was one of those days, nothing but clouds. But just imagine, that's dust to God's feet. The scripture in verse 5 says, "The mountains quake at him, the hills melt, the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him." Then it goes on in verse 7 to say, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them. He knoweth them that trust in him." The Lord is good and a stronghold, and he knows them that trust in him. My wife, before, actually, this is a part of our testimony to come here today, or to be pastoring here today, but the day we found out about you guys, it was a day I'll never forget in the best way positive. But it was July 16th. And the reason I know that is because we had just ministered in Litchfield, which is my wife's home church. And in that altar service, a patriarch of that church came up to her and told her, you know, said, God's got a light on you. Or first he said, you trust God, don't you? And just in the altar, just talking. And my wife says, we do. And we were going through a time where it was that whirlwind. Thank God, God was in the whirlwind, because we felt like we were in a whirlwind. And this patriarch turns to my wife in the altar and says, you trust God? She's like, yes, we do. And he says, he knows that. It's like, oh, okay. But then he went a step further and he said, God is shining a light on you. And people see it. And God is about to do something in your life that you had no clue it was about to take place. It's because you trust in him. That's why this is going to happen. And so she told me that in the car. We were driving back to her parents' house. We were going to change and go eat with her family and the pastor's family that evening. And so she told me that, and it was like, all right. God knows. Thank God, because we know that we trust in him, but often we don't get a chance to hear from God that where he responds, I know you trust me. We need to get to a place where we know not only do we trust God, God can trust us with our trust in him. And so we're driving, and I apologize, I'll tell the story. I don't want to leave it on a cliffhanger. Maybe it's not a cliffhanger, but tune in next week. So we go to dinner that night, and it's a great dinner. We're with the pastor, who is Brother Benthal, and that's to my wife. It's grown up. Her parents are assistant pastors to him, and it's Uncle Steve. And so it's just like being with family, sitting, eating dinner, just enjoying ourselves. And after we finish, my wife and I are walking in the car, and I'm walking with Brother Benthal, and he turns to me and says, you got a minute? I was like, sure. So I said, my wife goes to the car, and he pulls me aside and says, have you ever heard of sandwich? I said, a meatball sub? Or? And you guys have heard those jokes your whole lives. So I'm just now hearing those jokes, and they're already old. For all my you guys know, but my friends have really been enjoying those jokes to me. But, you know, I said, you know, vaguely, not really anything about it. And he goes, well, do you know that their pastor, Pastor Wells, he had resigned, and it had just come through family camp, and I had heard someone say something about it, but to be honest, I didn't know Brother Wells, and I didn't know anybody in this church, so it wasn't like, it just wasn't anything to me. It was just, you weren't anything, you're everything to me. But in that moment, help me, Lord, maybe we'll just move right along. But it just wasn't, it didn't register as to anything. We felt like we were in God's will with where we were at, and we were sure of that. And so he said, well, I was talking to Pastor Brosom last night on the phone, and then he started the conversation about us. And so my wife could see us standing there talking, and, you know, I move my hands a lot, so I was probably very animated. And I got in the car, and she said, what was that about? I don't know exactly what I said, but I know I just was laughing. I'm just laughing. She's like, what? Like, oh, we got to start driving. We just got to drive. And so we drove and we talked, and then fast forward, look what God has done. And I say all that. Amen. I say all that to say God is truly good. And that scripture, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. That's the position that we want to get ourselves to. That when God says, I need someone to go talk to somebody, to go pray for somebody, to go work on my behalf, who can I choose? And he turned and says, oh, I trust Sister Joella. I'm going to put a word in her heart. I trust Sister Pat. I trust Brother Kellum. And that's where we want to get to, that it is a two-way street of trust with God. That when he puts some on your heart, when he wakes you up in the middle of the night and he places your brother or your sister on your heart, you don't just roll over and say, they're fine, or it's not a big deal. You go to your knees. You find a place and you say, God, I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what they're up against, but I trust that you woke me up. And even if you didn't wake me up, I'm still praying on their behalf, because my brother or sister may need something. We want to get to a place where, even if it's not God telling us to do something, what's the harm in praying for somebody? What's the harm in telling somebody you love them? What's the harm in encouraging someone or witnessing to someone? You know, there's no negative to praying for somebody. God's not going to say, well, I didn't tell you to pray for them, so sorry. That's just not how he works. And there's a saying that most church people know, and we've already hit it earlier tonight, but God is good and all the time. Amen. We've repeated it so often, it you kind of wonder sometimes, is it just a saying? I mean, we all know it. It's one of those that flows off the lips really well. We've heard it since we were kids. But really, you know, do we know what we're actually saying? And we've all been guilty of doubting God's goodness from time to time, but especially when it feels like God just isn't hearing our prayers. If you look back at the beginning with Adam and Eve, the only reason sin appeared in our human nature was because of God's goodness. But moreover, it was actually a play on God's goodness, a play on God's goodness by the serpent. You see, the serpent, he convinced Eve that God was holding out something good from her. And he didn't give her truly the total package. That there was something good that God had hidden away from Eve. The scripture in Genesis 3 and 5 says, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He leads her down the road to a place where God, in her mind, maybe he isn't completely good. Maybe God doesn't have her best interest in mind. And she allows herself in that moment to believe that maybe God was holding out for some reason on me. And I thought he was good, but this serpent, he's making a lot of sense. Why would God, if God was so good, why would he keep me from that? Why would he not allow that for me? And it starts to make sense. It starts to make sense in her mind that if you step away and you quit looking at the goodness of God, you quit looking at all that you have and start focusing on the one thing that you don't have, it's easy for it to look as if God's holding out on you. Eve had completely overlooked all the good in her life. All the good, all the food she could eat right at her fingertips. Every tree, every plant, every bush, whatever she wanted, until her heart was content or her stomach was content, she could eat of that. She had the opportunity to walk with God. She walked with Jehovah. She walked with Jesus. She got a chance to walk with our Savior. Adam was there with her, and they got to live like lowercase g gods, live like kings of all the beauty that God had created. She got to experience all of that, and she overlooked all of that goodness because there was one thing minor that she couldn't get to, not being able to eat of that tree, and it overwhelms her. I believe that if we aren't careful sometimes, we could find ourselves in a very similar situation as Eve. We've been blessed truly beyond measure. We have the opportunity to come into a church, to hear truth, to hear God's word. We have the opportunity to have more than one Bible. Some countries have chapters and they have to pass them around and keep them in secret. And we have missionaries that can't share with the government why they're truly there, and they're doing it in secret, and they're holding church services in basements, and we have the opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost and have God's Spirit walking and moving within us, and we have a car and the ability to get food, and we live better than the majority of the world. But sometimes we don't have that one thing, or we simply don't know how one situation is going to work out in our favor, and that's all we focus on. We lose perspective of God's goodness, of God's grace, of God's grandiosity and splendor, and we just see this one little thing. And we start looking through a telescope. And we just, I mean, if we'd pull back, we'd see, but we grab whatever this is in your life. Whatever, maybe it's financial, maybe it's health, maybe it's family, maybe it's spiritual. We've all done it, and it's been different things in all of our lives. But instead of having both eyes open, where we could see all that we're blessed with and the true goodness of God, we grab that telescope and we just look at that one situation and we say, woe is me. Whoa, man, this is bad. This is how God's missed it here. God's missed, oh man, he's messed up. And we miss out on all the good that God is and all the good God has done in our life. And I'm not trying to belittle. I know sometimes it's two telescopes or it's something larger, but we still get so focused on it that even if we're looking at it like this, I can still see all around. And even though we put it up close, if we'd really look around, you could still see. I have it on my face. This is silly. I understand that. But on my face, I can still see completely around. And you could still see, even if it's that big of a situation, you can still see if you're looking for the grace of God, for the goodness of God. We got to realize that those circumstances you find ourselves in, those circumstances are never a barometer of how good God is. Your circumstances don't dictate God's goodness. Only the cross does. The cross is the only thing that can dictate the goodness of God. We don't rely upon feelings or emotions to dictate the goodness of God. God died on a cross for us. Regardless of how we feel, regardless of how much money you got, regardless if you're the only one in your entire neighborhood and family and household living for the Lord, God still is good. He's still good. If we could all stand. I've given a few challenges over the course of this this series, this God Is series, and a few call to actions, and mostly are minor, and this isn't anything profound. But my challenge for this week is to just see the goodness of God. Just whatever. I'm not telling you that you need to throw away your telescope, because I know that it's stuff that we got to work on. But I'm just saying, just pull back a bit. Recognize that you're looking through a telescope. Recognize, I'll be honest, my wife again beat me to the punch with her prayer request / testimony. She was in tune or something. But we got a phone call today, a voicemail, that basically we had insurance through our company, and they were our primary, in our mind, were our primary insurance. And so they've been paying out. Our baby was born 10 months ago, December 4th. And as you know, babies are expensive to be born. It was right around $60,000 was what, you know, the everything was. And so I didn't have that much in my wallet at the time to just, I know, I misplaced it. But we got a call that basically you had another primary provider, and it was her family plan, but her family plan never covered. She was off her family plan in our mind, and they don't do offer maternity benefits, but they're not going to cover, but we're not going to cover either. And so we had two insurances, but no insurances. And all I could see, very candid with you, when we left the house and drove to Sandwich, Illinois today. All I could see, just gritting, grabbing the wheel, and our daughter's crying in the back seat, and immediately she went from crying to asleep in a second. But just in that moment, just the first 5-10 minutes on the road, because it has literally just happened, but we said, well, we got to get to church, so we're going anyways, and we just started talking, and thankfully it's just a few minutes where it's like, God, correction, it wasn't God, you got this, what are you going to do? It was, what am I going to do? 60,000. I mean, might as well be $6 billion. I mean, what's the difference? I made a joke to my wife. Well, we could pay $200 a month for the rest of our lives, and then Paris could finish paying it off, and then maybe her kids would have to finish paying off their mom. I don't know. You could just do something like that. And it was just a couple of minutes, but then we just were able to step back and just literally laugh about it. Like, okay, God, we don't know. Clearly, you've done everything up till this point. And even if they did say you had to pay $60,000, I can't wait to see where we're going to get this check from or what you're going to do. Because we just, when you got nothing else to do, you trust God. When you got everything else to do, you trust God. Because God is good. God knows what he's doing. God's on the throne. He's taking care of it. And so this week, I want to encourage you. Find goodness. Find God's goodness. If it's minor, if it's something small, if the person at Chipotle accidentally gave you an extra half a scoop of steak and isn't going to charge you for it, God is good. God is good. Why not? Why not? Why not pay attention to God? Why not pay attention to the blessings? Why not pay attention to everything good he's done in our lives? He gives us every good gift. Every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights. God cares about us more than we know. He cares about it more than we could ever know. He cares for us. So as we close, I'm going to ask if you could, just as a sign of surrender, faith, I'm not sure what the right word is, but if you find yourself and nothing, not asking any specifics, but similar to my wife and I, you find yourself staring down a telescope at one situation. I'm just going to ask, would you raise your hand? Not asking anything personal. So there's some things here. We're all looking and facing things, and real things. Real situations. And although in this moment where you stand, it's all you can see and it looks really bad from our perspective. But I know that God is good, so I will not rely upon what it looks like. God's goodness overwhelms, supersedes what it looks like. It doesn't matter if it looks good, it looks bad. God is good and God is in control. We are just in a pre-testimony phase. We don't know the end of the testimony, but we're not in a pre-miracle phase. We're in a miracle phase. We just don't know the testimony yet. So I believe God wants to work. God doesn't want to work. God is going to work, and I believe that he is going to work in our situations. So as we close in prayer, there are needs that are represented. I'm going to ask again. Actually, we're going to take a step further. If you wouldn't mind raising your hand again, and I know I'm not trying to call attention to anything, I want you to look around. If you don't have your hand raised, look around. We're going to close in prayer, and we want to bind with our brothers and bind with our sisters. I know it's a Wednesday night. I know it's Bible study night. I know youth are probably done and power hour's over. I understand that. But there are real needs represented, and we serve a good God that wants to meet us at the point of our need. So why don't we just pair up? We're gonna close, but let's just get with somebody. Let's encourage our brother and sister in the Lord that God is good and he's going to work in these needs. Why don't you find someone and connect? God, you're working. God, you're working right now. God, I pray that you would work and that you would visit us right now. God, there are needs represented, but we have a good God. We have an able God. We serve a God on the throne that's able. In Jesus' name, God, begin to work. God, I pray.
Shout it out.
Come on, can we sing this together? Come on, let's shout it out from the mountaintops. God is good forever. Hallelujah.
Yes, the Lord is good forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can we sing that together? Amen. 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 You are good. You are good. You are good. Amen. Let's receive that right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for speaking to us. We thank you, God, that you're here in this place. God, that we are your children. We are your children. We are your children, God. Amen. 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 Really, nothing I will even attempt to add to that. God is good. Amen. 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 So, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God knows. God sees. God is in this place. He chose to visit Sandwich, Illinois on a Wednesday night, a fall night. He could have been anywhere else. He chose to visit you because he loves you and because he sees you. Be encouraged in that and in the Holy Ghost. You are dismissed tonight. Why don't we just encourage someone and just to end it on an upbeat, give three strong high fives and tell them God is good. Three strong. If you give two, the Lord knows. Three strong. Sister Christina, you can go stronger than that. You can go stronger than that.
think that might have been outside. Sorry, like, I have Paris, and I'm trying to play to it, and she, like, pounded her hand down. I was like, oh, my goodness, we cannot have this like this night. So I turned it down, but it was funny because... Okay, okay. Yeah, I should have said something sooner. I actually thought that a couple times. Normally that's there, but I didn't even think to ask about how to adjust any... Learning. Oh, thank you. Appreciate you.